The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell along thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100, 60, or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The disciples approached him and said, Why do you speak to them in parables? He said to them in reply, Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look, but they do not see, but do not listen, and hear, but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100, 60, or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The meaning of the parable of the sower and the seed. If only it was that easy. Understanding is one thing, doing is something altogether different. In terms of the barren path, those of us that are here probably have heard that word. After all, we've been baptized, we're attending Mass, and we are soon to receive Christ in the form of the Eucharist. So in that sense, we're probably in very good shape. What about rocky soil? Here in Connecticut, we specialize in rocky soil. A good farmer knows he has to clear those rocks if his plants are going to have a chance to grow. Well, the rocks prevent the seed that is the Word of God from taking effect. So it's important for us to remove those rocks too. But what does that mean for us today? Well, Jesus tells us that the rocks in this gospel refer to persecutions or tribulations. Today, we are persecuted. It's just not cool to be Catholic. The Catholic Church believes, for example, that all life is sacred from conception to natural death. Our church also gets persecuted because we don't change with the times. We all have an obligation to make sure that we understand our faith and can tell others of that faith so that even when they don't agree with our beliefs, at least they understand what we believe in. Our beliefs were founded on by Jesus Christ. We do not have the authority to change those beliefs, even though times have changed. Tribulations are the challenges that we face and sometimes cause us to question our faith. The tribulation that I see most often is when people are suffering with an illness. That illness, especially if it's profound enough to cause permanent change in their body or even death, will oftentimes cause people to question or renew their faith. We have a responsibility to understand our faith enough to deal with these tribulations. Jesus does give us crosses to bear, including suffering. If we can strengthen our faith and understand that we will never get a cross to bear that we can't handle without His help. And if we can also remember that no cross that we will ever get will be any more significant than what He did for us. All of us, as members of the church, not just the clergy, have an obligation to deal with the persecutions and tribulations to the best of our abilities. That might involve being able to explain our faith and to live our faith, even when it is not cool to do so. The thorns of the parable represent the worldly temptations, such as riches, that lure us away from the Word. That is probably the type of soil most of us here deal with on a daily basis. It could be things, stuff, you know, the materialism of the world. And that, my brothers and sisters, is waiting for us right outside that door. In addition to the materialism, there are things like pride, power, winning, promotions, or status. Satan uses many ways to try to lure us away from the Word of God. That bright, shiny new car, the nice clothes, even the way food is packaged, are all made to lure us away from the true seed, which is the Word of God. There are many worldly things that can represent the thorns and riches. And if that's not enough, we also have worldly anxiety that Jesus mentions. Today it's global warming, war, epidemics, crime, or drug use. The list goes on. But don't let me be a Debbie Downer, because earlier in the same book of Matthew, Jesus tells us to not be anxious about tomorrow. Let's see how we can work with that thought. In addition to removing thorns and rocks, a good farmer will enrich his soil so it provides the ideal growing environment for his seeds. often we do that for God's word. Use Miracle-Gro. That's right, Miracle-Gro. Not the stuff that you buy in the store, but the real stuff that comes from God. As I said earlier, we make a good start through baptism and when we receive the Eucharist. But what is meant by the seed bearing 30, 60, or even 100-fold? A good farmer not only removes the rock, but also enriches the soil. How can we do that? Our sacraments help. Living the Ten Commandments helps. Living the Beatitudes helps. Living the corporal and spiritual works of mercy helps. Okay, you all know that. You know what we need to do. Can we do all of them? Well, the short answer is actually yes, because with God's help, we can do anything. The long answer is it will take some time and effort and grace. That's right, grace from God. Grace from God is the true miracle grow that will help our seed grow. We did get some when we were baptized. We also got some when we were confirmed. We get some every time we receive communion. And we get some when we go to confession. Confession not only wipes away our sins, it also helps to clear those thorns and rocks that were muddying our life up to that point. And it strengthens us to help resist further sin. In essence, confession gives us a large dose of Miracle-Gro. While I'm talking about strengthening our soil and enriching our soil through the sacraments, I should also mention marriage. Those of us that are married know that it's not all rainbows and unicorns. Like anything worthwhile, it takes work. You hear of people that say, oh, I'm not getting married, it's just a piece of paper. What? I just can't believe that when I hear it. When you are married, especially in the church, you are going through a covenant between a man and a woman, and you are receiving grace from God that strengthens you, that strengthens your spouse, and your marriage. I don't know about the rest of you, but when I can get grace from God that's going to help strengthen me, I want it. Now, I'm not just repeating a bunch of things that you probably all know already. I am using our readings to help emphasize how we can use them in our daily life so that the Word of God through that seed will grow within us. I am asking you to do one more thing this week. One additional thing, not instead of a good thing, but maybe instead of a bad thing, that will help that seed of God grow in your life. That might be saying one extra prayer a day, saying a rosary each day, going to confession, working at a soup kitchen, doing some other charitable cause rather than watching TV, donating to a charity instead of buying stuff. The possibilities for improving the chance that the Word of God will reap 30, 60, or even 100-fold in our lives are endless. They are only limited by us. As we look back at Isaiah, we can take great comfort in knowing that the Word of God will not return to him void, but will do his will. The question is, how much do you want to be part of that?